Here we start at the top of Samachet Amud Aleph. The Gemara here is commenting on the Mishnah, which Rabbi Akiva quotes in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Akiva quotes in the name of Rabbi Yeshua that there is a difference between, in Kishuv, between someone does an action, they'll be chayav for it, versus someone who does an illusion, which is patur of al asur. So the Gemara wants to know, did Rabbi Akiva really quote this from Rabbi Yeshua? Is that where he learned it from? Rabbi Akiva mir Yeshua gamirlo? Rabbi Akiva really learned his din from Rabbi Yeshua. Atanya, we have a brace. The brace is going to go almost the entire length of this amud. And when you get to the bottom line over here, we'll see that he actually learned it from Rabbi Eliezer, which is Atanya. Kshechala Rabbi Eliezer nichnasu Rabbi Akiva v'chavir Rav levakro. So Rabbi Eliezer was sick. His chavirim came in to see him. Hu yoshiv b'kinuf shelo, v'hein yoshvim b'traklin shelo. He was in his canopied bed. And they were in the antechamber to his room. Oto yom erev Shabbos, it was erev Shabbos. Benichnas Hurkanus bino, which is interesting, right? This is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, so his child is named after his grandfather. It was Hurkanus bino. Lachlotz tefilav, wanted to take off his tefillin before Shabbos. He wanted to take off his father's tefillin before Shabbos. Garbo, he chastised him. Veyotza ben Zifa, and his son walked out, with his tail between his legs. Amalan Chavirav, he said to Rabbi Lezer's friends, meaning the Rabbi Akiva and the crew that had come to visit, I think my father's lost his mind, meaning that it's close to the death, and I think he's lost his mind. Amalan, so Rabbi Eliezer ben Hokus responds after when hearing his son say this, Dato v'datimo nitrufa, I'm of sound mind. It's my son and my wife. They lost their mind. How is it possible that they are leaving Isur Skila and dealing with something that's only in Isur Derabbanan? So now the Isur Skila was that they still needed to light candles and prepare the chamim. They have to get ready for Shabbos. Issues are melachot that are all dinei Skila. So that's what they should have been asukim ba. But taking off tefillin for Shabbos, Shabbos it's not an oat. So therefore, Shabbos is lav zman tefillin hu. The reason we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos is because we're afraid to take it out on the Yishut Rabim, the Chodaitzim Yishut Rabim. That's only a din derabonon, as Rashi says. Rashi says, Kasav Shabbos lav zman tefillin hu, v'asul anicham shema yetzi behem l'Yishut Rabim. We're afraid that you go out to Yishut Rabim and it won't be classified as levush. Or even if it's classified as levush, maybe you'll be chaleitz them in the Yishut Rabim. Tosfos points out here, even though Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus was going nowhere near the Yishut Rabim, he wasn't leaving his bed. Nevertheless, once there's a right, there's a Kseras of Chachamim, it applies whether you're in the Rishut Rabim or not. So that's where he got. So now, his Chaverim saw that he was well, happy and well. Kevin Shrachamim Chamim said, Datom Yushevet Alev, that everything was good. Nichnasu B'yashvulu Fanav Mirachok Dal Damot. They went in there and sat next to him, but they distanced themselves from him, Dal Damot. And that's because Rabbi Eliezer is in Nidui, or in Chavim, because of Tanur Shalachnai. So he's still in Chayim at this point in time. So Amalei, Lamabot, Amalehen, Lamabotim. Why'd you guys come to visit me? Amalei, Lumod, Torah, Banu. We came to learn Torah from you. So Amalei, Vadachshav, Lamalobotim. Where have you been till now? And all of a sudden, now you showed up? Amalehem, Loayelanu Panai. We didn't have enough free time. We weren't free. So we finally got a moment to come by and we wanted to say hi to you. Amalehen, Tmiani, Imiyamotu Mitat Atzman. Says, I'll be surprised if any of you die a natural death. So Amalo Rabbi Akiva Shali Mahun. Rabbi Akiva says, me? What do you say about me? Amalo Shachak Hashem Shalahen. You're going to die the worst of all the deaths because you were the most able to learn from me and you could have gotten so much more out of me. And the fact that you didn't, you're going to die a horrible death. Natal Shtez Roatav. He took his two arms, Vinicham Alibo, his two hands, his arms, placed them on his heart. Amar Oilachem Shtez Roatai Shehen Kishtez Sifrei Torah. Right, these are my arms are like two rolls of the Sefer Torah, Shigalin, right? Sefer Torah, Shigalin, because when you roll the Torah, the Atzei Chaim, when you roll the Torah gets hidden. As you roll it up, it gets covered or hidden as you roll it up. And therefore he's saying to them, listen, oi, that these two arms that are Sefer Torah are now being closed. I mean that I'm gonna go to my Olamo and there won't be anybody to teach this, learn this Torah from anymore because I'm gonna pass away. So, he says, Torah, harbei Torah, lamadati, I learned a tremendous amount of Torah, harbei Torah, limadati, and I also taught a tremendous amount of Torah. Harbei Torah, lamadati, I learned a tremendous amount of Torah, which is lo chasarti mirabutai. It did not. You can read it one of two ways. Lo chasarti mirabutai. Afilu kelevam lakik min hayam. So he says, either I did not cause my rebbeim to lose anything. My learning from my rebbeim did not detract from them in any way, like a dog who's lapping up from the ocean. I mean, the ocean is endless, like a dog laps up from the ocean. So too, when I took from my rebbeim, they lost nothing. They only gained, or they basically was to their, not to their detriment, to teach me. Or you could read it that is that I learned a tremendous amount of Torah, and I didn't drop anything. I didn't lose anything. I took everything without any chisaron. That's like a kelim lakik min hayam, meaning like a dog that's lapping up from the water, doesn't, there are very few drips that come out. He gets everything when he's lapping it up. So harbe Torah, limadate, I taught a tremendous amount of Torah, but lo chisruni talmidai. In the same way, you can again learn it both ways. Either lo chisruni talmidai is my talmidim, didn't cause me any loss. I mean that because I gave the Torah to them, that didn't detract from me in any way. Like the makeup, like the mascara or the blush where they put the brush into the tube, that a little bit wipes off on the walls, but not very much. I mean that most of it comes out when you take it out. So that's one possibility, is that I didn't lose anything. When I gave to my students, I told my students I didn't lose anything, or the other way also, to learn that the students got 99% of what I was giving to them, that even though we weren't necessarily of the same levels, but I was still able to impart to them the Torah, when they took it out, they only lost a tiny amount when they took it away out of me. Another alternative is that Rabbi Eliezer was saying that I took from the Yam, meaning that I took a very little of what all my Rebbeim had to offer, and that means I took a very small portion of it. And the same thing with my students, only took a small portion of what I had to offer. I mean that because when you dip the brush into the makeup, you only take out a little bit of what's in the total tube. Same thing, the dog that laps up from the ocean only takes a very small amount of the ocean. So I learned from my Rebbeim, but only took a small portion of them. And those, my students that learned from me, also only took a small portion from me. And again, that would fit in terms of his criticism that they hadn't come and taken the Torah that he had to offer, that they'd taken such a small amount of the Torah that he had to offer.
So either way, he said, I learned a tremendous amount. I taught a tremendous amount. Floed, Shela, Shani, Shonesh, Kloshmeot, Halachot, Bebaheret Azah. I know 300 Halachot in Negaim, about a Beheret Azah. Floed, Adam, Shishlani, Behem, Devar, Meolam. And nobody ever asked me a word on them. Floed, Shani, Shonesh, Kloshmeot, Halachot, Vamilash, Loshet, Alafim, 300 or 3,000 Halachot, Minitiat, Kishuin, the planting of Kishuin, of gourds or, zucchinis, which is din in kshafim, right? In kshafim, he knew din in kshafim. V'lo haya adam shishalani ben davar mi'olam chutz mi'akiva ben Yosef. Nobody ever asked me about anything in them except for Rabbi Akiva. Pamachat aniva hu mechalchim. One day we were walking along. Ayinu b'derech. Marli Rabbi lamdeni benitiat kishuim. Show me, teach me about kshafim and how you plant kishuim. Marti Devar Echad, I said, is, you know, the word, I muttered the word, it's Malak Kolasadeh Kishuim. The whole field was covered in Kishuim, in zucchini or gourds. Amalei Rebbe, Limarad Lamdantani, Nitiatan, you showed me how to plant them. Lamdani Akiratam showed me how to undo this. Marti Devar Echad, I mumbled another word, or I said the other incantation, Nikabzu Gulam the Makom Echad. They all were picked and gathered into one spot. So there, I taught him Kshafim. Now you can see why it's related to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talked about exactly this case. And it seems that Rabbi, who did Rabbi Akiva learn it from? He learned it from Rabbi Eliezer over here. Rabbi Eliezer taught him about Kishuim and Kshafim over here. So now, the Brisa still continues. So Amr, they asked him, they asked him, Akadur, Vaimum, Fakmiya, Vatsuor, Amargliot, Mashkulot, Ketana, Mahu. So now all these items are items where they are leather or there's some sort of covering, and then they are stuffed in the middle. A kadur, a ball, is made out of a leather wrap, and then you stuff it in the middle to make it hard, to make it solid. Imum, some sort of form that is made. So you put the form together, and then you stuff the form in it. Akmiya, right, there's a, over here, not the Kameya, like we are thinking of a Kameya in the sense that you put the scroll of the Kameya together, but the Kameya also was the tube that held the Kameya inside of it. So here they wore it around their neck, and the Kameya is a tube, and it was stuffed, or there was something inside of it that made it full. And Sror, some sort of rock, or Sror Margalit, which is some sort of jewel or precious stone that's wrapped in leather. And mashkolet katana is a small weight. She used to wrap the small weights in leather so that they did not wear down and they'd always be accurate in the weights. So all of these items are leather pieces with stuffing in the inside. So the Chachamim believe that when it comes to Kli Or require a Beit Kibul to become Tameh. Beit Kibul means it has to have a receptacle of some sort. So over here, where the receptacle is stuffed and there's no plans to take it out, there is no receptacle to these items. Therefore, they would not be Mekabel Tuma. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer believed that they did have a Beit Kibul and you would be Tameh. Or they could be Mekabel Tuma. So that's the first halacha. So on this, they asked Rabbi Eliezer, Kadur, Aimu, Makmiat, Zror, Ramagliot, Mashkolot, Kadanu, Mahu, what's the din? So they knew that he had argued on the Chachamim. They were wondering if he had retracted his statement or he had changed his opinion. Amalahan, Hain Tmein. Number one, they are Tmein. Uta Maharatan Bameh, Shehain. On the other hand, their Tara is with anything. Now, Ma Shehain here is again when you, on the reverse side, if they Mekabel Tuma, how are you Mentahir them? So Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Eliezer over here, it's an argument between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim again, whether you can put them in the mikveh. The Chachamim agree that if they rip open in any way, and therefore the stuffing is not contained on the inside, that they are Mekabel Tuma. If they are Mekabel Tuma, how do you be Mitar them? You take them to the mikveh. So over here, Rabbi Shimon believes that the stuffing or the insides are, but Rabbi Eliezer believes that the stuffing on the insides are batel, Gabay, the form, and therefore when you put them in the mikvah, it's not a chatzitza. Just like they can be mikabel tuma, it's batel there, and you can be, it's classified like a beit kibul. So too, when you go to the mikvah, it's not a chatzitza. On the other hand, the chamim believe, even though it's mikabel tuma, the inside, the stuffing on the inside is a chatzitza. Since it's a chatzitza, you can't put it into the mikvah unless you remove all of the stuffing on the inside. Right? Then they asked him the next halacha, manal shal gabay aimum. A shoe that is on the shoe form, mahu, what's the din? I mean that the shoemaker has completed his work, and all that remains is to release the shoe from the form that it's there. Samarlan, hu tahor. He says, that is tahor. The Chachamim believe that it's mekabel tuma because anybody can take it off. It's not a meleches uman to take it off the form. Even a lay person could take it off the form, and therefore it would be tamei already, because it has a gemar malacha. And then Rabbi Lezer is mitahar, because he says there's still gemar malachto left. Gemar malachto is to take it off the form. No matter who takes it off, but it's still gemar malachto left, and therefore it is tahor until that gemar malacha is performed. So he says, tahor biyatsa nishmato bitahara. And as he said tahor, he passed away, and his neshama left bitahara. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua al raglov. Shua gets up on his feet. Amar hutar haneder, hutar haneder. The neder is released. The neder is released. Meaning they took him out of nidui at this point in time on his death. Upon his death, he took him out of nidui. So now you have here all these chaverim, which is interesting that Rabbi Lezer ben Hukernus is described. We did this in Pirkei Avos, the Shabbos. Rabbi Lezer ben Hukernus is described as bor sid sheinu me'abed tipa. Right, so someone who retained everything he learned. So here you see him describing himself as someone who had tremendous Torah, right, didn't lose anything, didn't cause anybody else to lose anything, he was able to give and take in Torah without losing anything. You have here Rabbi Kiba B'chavi Rav coming back to visit him, and you know, was basically their peer, or his peers that were to have learned from him. And nevertheless, because of the nidui, they were separated from him. And here they came in the end of his life they got a little bit, you know, they tried to see if he still held his positions and to learn something from him. So now, the Motzei Shabbat, after he died on Erev Shabbos, so Motzei Shabbos, they had to take him care of him. Pagobo, Rabbi Akiva, and Kezari the Lud. And so Rabbi Akiva was following the mitah, was with him. They were carrying the mitah from Kesari to Lud. Akiva was smacking himself, hitting himself over being distraught over the question is now, if it's over distraught over the death of Rabbi Eliezer, we have a restriction in the Torah, which is Sirat Lanefesh Lo Tasu. Right, we're going to have it. Right, you're not allowed to cut yourself or cause yourself any damage because of the death of an individual. So what's Rabbi Akiva doing here? He's smacking himself, hitting himself until he's bleeding. How could he do this? So Tosfos says over here, it wasn't because of Nefesh. It was because of the Torah that went away. And Rabbi Akiva was upset about the Torah lost in Rabbi Eliezer, not about Rabbi Eliezer's death, but the loss of the Torah, the Kvod HaTorah, and that is indicated by the eulogy that we're going to see in a second that they gave to him. So he was Makir Zodar, it's Patach Lei B'Shura, when they got to the Shura, meaning that they surrounded the mace, and they were about to give a Hespet, Amar, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael for Hashav. Same thing that Elisha said for his Rebbe Eliyahu. That's what Rabbi Akiva says over here. Harbe ma'ot yeshli, I have a lot of money. Ve'en li shulchani la'artzotam. I don't have a money changer to deal with them. Meaning that I have lots of Torah and questions that I need to ask you, and I can no longer ask you. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. And that's why Tosa says, you can see from here that Rabbi Akiva is focused on the Torah loss and not on Rabbi Lezer himself. And that's why it wasn't Seret L'Nefesh. Now, Alma, here's the question after all of that. Alma, Rabbi Eliezer Gamra. Rabbi Akiva learned about Kishuim and Kishufim from Rabbi Eliezer. So Gamra mi Rabbi Eliezer velo Savra. He learned it originally from Rabbi Eliezer, but it didn't settle with him. He wasn't able to grasp it. Tadar Gamra mi Rabbi Yeshua. Later on, he learned it with Rabbi Yeshua, Basru and Yale. And then he was able to get it, understand it, comprehend it, right? Deal with it at that point in time. And therefore, he quoted it in the name of Rabbi Yeshua when it comes to our Mishnah. Mara now asks a side question, how is it possible that Rabbi Eliezer did this? How could he perform Kishufim? What's that? Why is he allowed to do Kishuf? Right, still Pater Vavasar. Right. Anybody does an action is Chayav, and as you point out, even if it's an illusion, still Pater Vavasar. Says the Hitlameg Shiny, to teach is different. Because the Amar Lotomod Lasot, you should not learn to do like the nations around you. Lasot, you're not allowed to learn in order to do or to emulate their actions. You are allowed to learn to understand what they're doing. I guess probably to protect yourself as well, but also to teach others to know what this is all about so that they, first of all, they can prosecute them if they're going to bring them to court. And also so that they know how to deal with these individuals to downplay the Chilul Hashem that's caused sometimes when these people perform Kishufim. Right, that's the end of the Perek. Now we get the new Perek. Ben Sorer Umoreh. So this is, again, continuation of the list of those that get Skila. And that we're still going through each individual item that the Mishnah listed that who gets Skila. We're up to now Ben Sorer Umoreh is another individual that gets Skila. Rematayin Aseh Ben Sorer Umoreh. At what point does he become a Ben Sorer Umoreh? Mishavish Tei Se'arot. Once he reaches the age of being a Gadol, right, where he gets two Se'arot, V'adji Akiv Zekan HaTachton. Until the lower area has become bearded, V'lo Ha'elyon, and not the upper area. So I mean, this is Lashon Nikiyah. Lashon Nikiyah, not your bearded, but bearded down below. I mean, that two Se'arot, and then until he reaches he has more pubic hair, again, that is, like a zakan, we'll see in the Gemara what that means. Ella, shedibru chamim l'shonikiyah. Again, they use the term zakan, even though they're speaking l'shonikiyah. Shnemar, kiyeli ish ben. Says, when a person has a ben, velo bat. First of all, it only applies to a son, not to a daughter. Ben, velo ish, it applies to a son, v'not a adult. And katan, patur. But when it comes to katan, he's patur, shelo bat l'chal mitzvot, because he's not of age. Can't punish somebody who is not of age. So that we're going to have to deal with, again, what's that seems strange. It says ben and not an ish, means the son seems to be a minor. And then you say, well, a minor is not chayav, so how do you reconcile between those two things that the Gemara is going to do right now? Katan mil nolan, de potur. How do you know that a katan is patur when it comes to ben sorer umoreh? Man says, min nolan, kedetaymi taymon. What do you mean, minolan? Our Mishnah says explicitly why he doesn't get punished. It's kushalo balichlo mitzvot. He never became chayav mitzvot, meaning that he's a minor. Minors are patur mina mitzvot. It's nothing to talk about. You can't be punished until you come of age. So what's the question? Ben Sorer Umoreh, katan's patur. What do I need to know it from? It's like any other mitzvah in the Torah. Katan is not chayav. V'tu, heichan da'ashkan da'ano shekatuv, da'achali ba'ikro lemifterei. Where do you ever find that a katan gets punished? That all of a sudden over here you're going to need a tour for the katan. It doesn't make any sense. First of all, he's a minor. Number two, the fact that he is not chayav anywhere else in the Torah, why would you have a havamina to say he's chayav over here? And that the Gemara answers, anan ochi kamrinan. This is the question, because over here the havamina is different. Atu ben sorer umoreh chaton erag? Ben sorer umoreh is not killed because of the crime that he commits currently. But Al-Shem Sofon Erag, he's killed on the future, what we assume that he's going to do, what this behavior is going to lead to him to do in the future. But Kevin Al-Shem Sofon Erag, Afilu Katan Nami. If the truth is that he's already being killed or punished for the future and not for his current actions, but let's extend that further and say, okay, if he's a katan, we can kill him also, because he's been killed for what he's going to do in the future when he is not a minor anymore. So let's say we put him to death as a minor. So that's the havamino of the Gemara over here. Shem v'kevim adal shem sovener gafilu katan ami v'od. And also it says ben v'loish. When you say ben v'loish, seems to be not a ish means somebody who's over the age of bar mitzvah. So ben would be someone below the age. Katan mashman, sounds like it's a talking about a katan. So that we say amarav Yehuda amarav. The answer to this is Amar Kol. The pasuk says v'chi yad ish ben. When a person has a ben hasamuch ligruato shel ish. The juxtaposition of ben and ish comes to teach you v'chi yad ish ben, that the ben has to be samuch ligruato shel ish, and the verge of reaching the point of being a ish, of being a full-grown adult. So it's somebody who's on that cusp of being a full-grown adult, and therefore it's a ben who has to be a baron shin, a ben who's a baron shin, which is right as he turns bar mitzvah, as he gets shtei se'arot, that is the person who will be samuch ligvurato shlish, will be on the verge of becoming a full-fledged adult. So that period of time, between the time he's bar mitzvah till he reaches a full-fledged adult, that is when he will be chayav, or that is when a ben serer American will be held accountable. So now, Tosfos does ask on this, why can't you say it's a whole year before he becomes bar mitzvah? I mean, where do you get the fact that it has to be immediately when he becomes bar mitzvah? Where do you get the fact that ben or ish, samuch legvurato, why don't you say like a mufla when we have by nedarim? Say a mufla samuch lish. So already a year beforehand, we say that he's capable. So why do you not have a year? The Rabbeinu Tan says it because the halacha darish leish, the mashma lashon gvura. So here it's different than nedarim, because over there it says mufla samach leish, but the term ish is not used by nedarim. It says ki yafli neder, it just uses the term of yafli. Over here the specific term ish is used, which is drawing us much closer to a real full-fledged adult. So therefore it has to be over the age of... being a full-fledged adult, right, is when it's going to be, not something like a year before. That's just too far in advance. Right, actually, it keeps kana tachton, so we said in the Mishnah, until it reaches the full puberty. So what is that? Tani Rabbi Chi, actually, keep atara. We don't need the pubic hair to reach around the entirety of the area down below, his private parts, but rather simply around the member itself. Because the other possibility is that it has to encompass it also the kis as well, which would be a lot more than just simply the atara, the member. I'll tell you what this means. Rav Dima explained what Rav Chia means is that kafat gid, it's the surrounding of the member, but not the surrounding of the beitzim, right, of the scrotum, which would be a much more extensive area. If a katan is a father, then his son cannot be a ben sorer umoreh. Shnemar, because it says, ki yeli ish ben. When an individual has a son, li ish ben, velo the ben ben. It's when he is the son of an adult, but not when he also has a son, lo ben, le ben. So you can't be. So Mar says, wait a minute, how do you have ki yeli ish ben? How can you be learning from that pasuk? Ha mi baile the Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. We just used that from Yehuda Amarav to teach you that it's a... it's an individual close to adulthood. It has to be. So how do you learn two things? So imkain lema kra kia the ben leish. The order over there. If you want to say just kia the kia ben leish, then you can learn that one, because then the ben is before the ish. What does it mean kia the ish ben? Right. So that's what does it mean ish ben? Shema mina kerev chista. So you could have learned that. The juxtaposition of ben and ish would have taught you Rabbi Yehuda Amarav's din, whether it's ben before ish or ish after, or ish before ben. Now you also switch it around and say the ben comes after the ish. That teaches an additional item like Rav Chista. Let's say it all comes from this. Ben ish. Ish ben. Tarte. Because then it just said ben ish, the son of a child. So now what, I mean, son of an individual. What does it mean, the ish ben, that he has a child? He has a child and a child does not have a child. So tarte. So you can learn out both things. I mean, because of the way the structure of the pasuk, which is unusual, that teaches us the two items. One is the juxtaposition between ben and ish, and the other one is to teach us
the fact that he has to be the child and not the father of another child. This statement of Rav Chisda is arguing on Rabba. Rav Chisda makes two chidushim here. The first chidush that he has is that a katan shaholid, right? Ein benon aseh ben tzoror marer. So first of all, the first problem is that a katan can have a child. That's the first statement that Rav Chisda makes. That's a chidush. Second one is that he won't become a ben tzoror marer, which implies that a katan could become a ben tzoror marer. Just the fact that he has a child that's preventing him from becoming a ben tzoror marer. Those are the two chidushim of Rav Chisda. So we say pligi de rabba. Now he argues on rabba is the first point, which is that a katan can be the father. Because the Amar Rabba, Katan ain't a molid. Katan cannot give birth, Shinamar, im ain't the ish goel. When it comes to Gezla Ger, there it says that the ish has no, goel, no redeemer. Tchi yeshach adam bisosh ain't the goel. Is it possible that any Jew doesn't have a goel? I mean, everyone has relatives. All the way back, you have to go back all the way to the Shvatim, right? But you have to have some relatives somewhere along the way. Right, about Gezla Ger, a Katuv Meberber. It must be talking about a case of Gezla Ger. Why? Because a Ger really doesn't have Goalim because he wasn't part of Klai, so he just joined Klai. So, Far Rachmana Ish, but Tosuk says Ish, Atatzarich Langsor Alav, Im Yishlo Goalim Im Lav. When it comes to a person over the age of Bar Mitzvah, then you have to look and see if he has descendants that could possibly inherit him. But katan, when it comes to a katan, you don't have to search and see if he has any descendants because it's known that he doesn't have descendants because he can't give birth. If he physically can't give birth, there's nothing to talk about. So you see from Rabba that a katan cannot give birth, as opposed to Rav Chisda, who thinks a katan can, he's not giving birth, but he cannot father a child. Rabba says a katan cannot father a child, and Rav Chisda says a katan can father a child. Tosfos deals with, we'll get to it in the Gemara later on, that it seems to be Dorot Rishonim, in the earlier generations, they would give birth at 8 years old and 9 years old. So how can we claim that our children, until they reach the age of Bar Mitzvah, can't give birth? You see here that the minors are giving birth. So Tosfos says that in their day, not only did they give birth, that they were Charifim, that they gave birth at 8 or 9, or that they were fathering at 8 or 9, but they also, their puberty was also accelerated, so that they actually got Shtei Sarot back then. So that the idea that we have Shtei Sarot at 13, that is already, that's today's nature, as opposed to the earlier nature of those earlier, that the nature was that not only could they father at 8 or 9, but they also reached puberty at that point in time in order not to be a problem. The last thing is this massive Tosafot over here. It's actually a summary of many Tosafot that we've seen over the last year or two about the status of a katan. Tosafot asks a very basic question. The Gemara here assumes that a katan can have possessions. So it says, how does a katan come into possessions? Right. How could he have any possessions to give away? I mean, how could he have any ownership? Katan doesn't have the ability to be zuche. Katan doesn't have the ability to take possession of anything. So this is a good question. So you say, zochin for a katan. That happens in Machlokas. We saw this together in Baba Basra about whether you can have, there's zchia the katan. Can you get a katan get a zchia through a third party? Was a machlokas, whether a gadol can be zochel yidei a katan. Tosus over here has his shita that he has throughout. We've seen this in Tosus many times. Tosus says that zchia is mitorat shlichus. That zchia works because of shlichut, and a katan does not have shlichus. He can't make someone into his shliach. Since he can't make it into a shliach, you can't say zochin shalob b'fanav or zochin ayado. Can't have zchia on his behalf because he can't create shlichus. And therefore, so a katan fails. So since a katan is a liar by shlichutu, katan can't have someone be zoche on his behalf because he can't create the shlichus to have someone be zoche shalob b'fanav. So the din of zoche shalob b'fanav. Tosfos also adds something that we've seen together, and that is, it depends on how the katan is coming into possession of it. I mean, if a katan picks up an aveda, he can't be zoche in it because he's picking it up from hefker. On the other hand, Tosfos says a chiddush in other places that if it's dat acheret makne otan. Right, so if someone else is makne to him, they can make up for the deficit in the zchiyat ha-katan. No ability to be makne, but he can be koneh. But now, if the Torah is makne because of Yerusha, then we don't worry about that anymore. But the fact that he can actually come into possession of it is possible. It says if you have dat acheret makne lo, if someone else is there, that they can make up for, compensate for the lack of zchiyah of the katan, they can compensate by giving it to him, and therefore you can create a makne doraisa. Zochem midaraisa lachirim. Based on this, you can be zochem. Now he says the Tosfos continues to bring down. As Yerushalmi sounds like a ben dat, that at least a child who reaches the age of ben dat, excuse me, he can be koneh. As opposed to our Gemara, the Bavli sounds like he has to be bar mitzvah. It doesn't matter if he's a ben dat. We saw earlier in our last perek that for a ben noach, the determination of when he's a gadol is probably that he is a ben dat. And so therefore, Tosfos over here brings the possibility of the fact that maybe he was a convert. And that's how he came into possessions. He was this individual, maybe when he was a katan, he inherited from his father while he was still a goy, and therefore he was a ben dat. If he's a ben dat, he's able to then inherit, and then he converted with his mother. So when he converted with his mother, he's a katan. So he comes over as a katan, and then when he comes of age, then he automatically, and then here Tosfos makes his last point here, that even though a individual, a ger, is allowed to reject his becoming a ger if he was brought over as a katan, he only has that opportunity once, and that's when he turns bar mitzvah. If he turns bar mitzvah, he has the opportunity to reject it. If he doesn't reject it then he remains a ger, and he can't remove it at that point in time. So Tosfos solves the problem by basically making him a goy when he inherited the possessions, because there he inherits as a bar dat. He doesn't need the age of bar mitzvah. And on the other hand, when he became converted already, he's a katan. How can we say then? And Tosfos deals with how does Beis Din make him into a ger? How can Beis Din be zochah on his behalf? So Tosfos over here says that it has nothing to do with zchia. Gerus is not a din in zchia. It's a din of, right, that he comes along and then he takes that and becomes a ger, a real full-fledged ger when he becomes a gadol. It's not that Beis Din's doing it on his behalf now. No, they do the milah and the tevilah. That's an effect. But the actual gerus takes place when he actually becomes bar mitzvah. Right, when he becomes bar mitzvah, and that Kabbalah Tosfos says doesn't mean it has to be a full-fledged Kabbalah, it just has to be that he doesn't reject it at the time he becomes bar mitzvah. And therefore, they're not being zocha al yado. Or, you could say that it's bayim kechad, yado, and the conversion creates his yado. At the same time that he becomes it, he's zocha on his behalf because he gets his yad at the time that he becomes a gir, and therefore they're bayim kechad. And therefore it works for his ability to become a gir. Right, I was thinking that, but Tosfos is not willing to say that, even though it's a bar das in terms of inheritance. It might be that a bar das is enough for him to inherit, to take possession, but not enough of him to make a decision to become a ger. That's what it seems like. Tosfos is not willing to take that jump, that if he's a bar das to make a kinyan, that he's also a bar das to make the decision of being a ger. Because we always have a sugi of ger katan. Nobody suggests that the sugi of ger katan only applies to someone's not a bar das. May apply. Nobody makes that differentiation. So Tosfos separates between the two items. All right. So therefore he can be kone as guf, and he becomes a Jew at that point in time, because he's zochin, as he says, he's zochin begufo ba'atzmo at the same moment that he converts. And they give him a yad to be zochin himself. All right, we'll stop over here.